Well, as promised, we're going to take a look at the Middle East, get an update from David Dolan, longtime journalist in that part of the world, over 30 years, has great insight for us as we look at what is happening. And David, a lot of things taking place this week. One of the most interesting, of course, was Jerusalem Day. Now, it took place on the 28th of May. And when you look back at the calendar, at the Six-Day War in 1967, it was June 7, 1967, that actually the paratroopers from the Israeli Defense Force stormed the old city, went up onto the Temple Mount, and reunited the city of Jerusalem after 2,000 years. But because of the Jewish calendar, they celebrate it at different times other than the actual date in history. But the significance of it was very important. The people of Israel, realizing that Jerusalem is the city that God has given them, He's promised to dwell among them forever in the city of Jerusalem. And it was a very, very special day of remembrance, was it not?
Well, it always is, Jimmy, and many, many Jerusalem Day celebrations I've been at and interviewed different political leaders. It's a time of the year for prime ministers to declare that the city will remain under Israeli control forever, and most Israeli prime ministers over the last 33 years that I've been covering Israel directly have done so. Only one or two thought it was too controversial. I believe Ehud Barak was one. He said, well, you know, let's just not say anything at this time. It's too touchy. But Prime Minister Netanyahu again reiterated on Jerusalem Day that the city will remain united, will remain under Israeli control. This coming as the Palestinians were preparing to unveil their new unity government, bringing the radical terrorist Hamas movement into their government. Of course, their current the Palestinian Authority headquarters is in Ramallah, just a few miles north of Jerusalem. And when there's fighting in Ramallah, for instance, when Yasser Arafat was in his compound there in, I believe it was 2004, and Israeli forces were besieging it during the second Palestinian uprising, we could hear it in Jerusalem very clearly, just a little far away. So it's important for the Israelis to say so and to rejoice in the uniting of Jerusalem, but there's that reminder just a few miles away that the world, and certainly the Islamic world, and certainly the Arab world, and certainly the Palestinians do not agree and intend to take back the eastern half either by in a peace treaty or, if necessary, with the help of countries like Iran, which talks about this all the time, Hezbollah, which talks about it all the time, and other Muslim countries and groups. Al-Qaeda also says it, that it will once again be an Islamic city and that Jewish control will be wrested from it. So the Israelis celebrate, but they do so, well, as it says in the book of Nehemiah, when the second temple was a predecessor to it was being constructed, they had a working hoe in one hand and they had a gun in the other. Well, in those days, not a gun, but today that's what it is.
Yes, indeed, and it looks like the battle for the city of Jerusalem is not over. Zechariah the prophet says so, chapter 12 and verse 2, Jerusalem a cup of trembling. But activities there at the Allenby Bridge coming over into Israel from Jordan, they arrested one of the Hamas leaders, and he actually, under interrogation, revealed that Hamas has been paying Palestinian young men to riot on the Temple Mount to cause problems, trying to keep the Jews off of the Temple Mount, which was also evidence this week as well.
Well, indeed, and we've had this sort of thing going on for a long time, Jimmy, with Saddam Hussein, the dictator of Iraq, paying Palestinian families, you know, if their children went out and blew themselves up, you know, the family got rewarded with $20,000 from them. And Hamas, of course, has money. They have a lot of Iranian money coming in. This comes as reports say that Iran is paying for Afghani soldiers to fight in the Syrian civil war, quote unquote, which is not a civil war but has a lot of foreign forces in it, as you know. But so they pay Hamas, and Hamas pays that money out then to people to riot and other things. And Jimmy, this week Ismail Haniyeh, the Hamas leader, a man that wants to become the new prime minister after a unity government is fully formed. There's a temporary one that was announced on Thursday, but they're expecting that within the next days or so, few days. That he said once again that that they will work to destroy Israel, and that it isn't just from Gaza, but they will now be able to operate out of Judea and Samaria, the West Bank. So he's not even hiding his cards what their intentions are. They want to carry on with the holy war, the jihad, and probably drag Fatah into it, Jimmy. And as all I can say is, I haven't seen the scene set up for a new uprising like it is right now in many years. Well, since we had the second uprising, that one followed a U.S. attempt to broker peace with Ehud Barak and President Clinton. That failed, and we had this explosion soon afterwards. We fear now in Israel that this is going to take place once again with this radical Iranian-backed movement now moving in, as it were, to Ramallah, right next door to Jerusalem.
And at the same time, they elect a new president in Egypt, al-Sisi, who was the defense minister, head of the military, and actually the one who led the coup to bring down Mohamed Morsi, who had been duly elected as president of Egypt. Howbeit, he came out of the Muslim Brotherhood, and they used that as an excuse to bring him down. What are your thoughts, and how will this affect Israel with the election of al-Sisi to president of Egypt?
Well, Jimmy, for one thing, I think it shows what a total waste of time and effort it was for the United States government, to the Obama administration, to back this, quote, Arab Spring revolution that had one of its beginnings in Egypt, really next door in Tunisia, but it spread rapidly to Egypt. And, of course, the then president, Hosni Mubarak, who was in truth a dictator, but a very benevolent one, a very fair one, backed by the military, which was U.S. backed and still is, and so there was a fair amount of stability under him, but people said, too long he's been there, and let's have a revolution and it'll be better. Well, it wasn't better. It was Mohamed Morsi persecuting the Coptic Christian minority, 10% of the people, persecuting women, making everybody put on the veil, and doing all sorts of things, and indicating that was just the beginning, that he would carry on with that. And, of course, things fell apart, and the military stepped in, and the violence grew between all the various factions, and now the military is back. So we've come full circle, and we never should have encouraged the overthrow of Mubarak in the first place. He would have died, and Sisi would have taken over. There would have been none of the bloodshed that Egypt has seen over the last 3 years, terrible loss of life and destruction there, as we're seeing in Syria and other countries where this, quote, Arab Spring sprang into an Arab winter or some are even saying an Arab hell. In the case of Syria, a war that really resembles World War I in its brutality, use of chemical weapons, mass slaughter of civilians going on just north of Israel. So al-Sisi brings order and stability, and the people of Egypt now want that again, and the U.S. Hopefully will work with them. He's there. Was it a free and fair election? No, but that's the Middle East, and you know, they're pretty much run by dictators. You just hope for the best kind of dictator, and al-Sisi, associated with the United States military, he'll probably keep things pretty calm and stable there. So it's a good outcome for Israel.
We've got about 30 seconds left, if you can, in this time for the interview, David. Talk to me about that peace treaty. The first peace treaty that Israel made with anybody in history would be the Camp David Accords of 1979. You think al-Sisi will keep that in place, or will he try to change it?
I'm sure he'll keep it in place, Jimmy. The U.S. government's funding of the Egyptian military, and we don't fund it, but we send $2 billion to Egypt every year, that's a large chunk, is based on him keeping that treaty going. So I believe that he will do so.
David Dolan, the man who covers the Middle East for us, he is on top of things, current events that are happening, which seemingly are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. We need to have someone that does that for us. And we appreciate so much David Dolan being able to assist us in that area. David, thank you so much. A lot of things happening. We need to stay on top of them. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.